الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. تلبينا or جديد ساينس. تلبينا which is explained just now is a type of a porridge, and what modern science has got to say about this porridge. This porridge is a sunnat porridge which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had and used to stress upon as well. Talbina ya jau ka dalya. Talbina, which is barley, porridge made of barley, jisme jau koot kar usse doodh mein pakate hai. That is, barley is grounded, is made fine, and then it is cooked in milk, or shahid se meetha karke istemal karte hai, and it is sweetened by honey, and then it is used. So talbina is simply barley, fine barley, cooked in milk and sweetened with honey. This is a sunnat porridge, and there is great, great benefit in it, which modern science has also acknowledged now. حضور اکدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اہل خانے میں سے جب کوئی بیمار ہوتا تھا تو حکم ہوتا کہ اس کے لیے جو کا دلیا تیار کیا جاوے. Whenever somebody in the family of Nabi Kareem صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم used to become ill, then a command was given that this porridge of which is called talbina, that must be prepared and given to that person. پھر فرماتے تھے کہ بیمار کے دل سے غم کو اتار دیتا ہے. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, one of the many benefits of talbina is that it removes grief and sorrow from the heart. Till today it's a practice in our people, into a mayyat house, they will send this talbina. Because the people are grieved, they are full of sorrow, and this helps to remove the grief and sorrow from the heart. اور اس کی کمزوری کو یوں اتار دیتا ہے جیسے کہ تم میں سے کوئی اپنے چہرے کو پانی سے دھو کر اس سے غلاظت اتار دیتا ہے. And it removes weakness from a person. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, just like when one of you washes your face and all the dirt that is on the face, which is by the eyes, etc., in your nose, you remove and your face becomes clean. Like this, the talbina removes weakness from a person. حضرت عائشہ صدیقہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ بیمار کے لیے تلبینہ تیار کرنے کا حکم دیا کرتی تھی. Consequently, حضرت عائشہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ also, whenever anyone became ill, she should say, prepare تلبینہ and give it to the person. اور کہتی تھی کہ اگرچہ بیمار اس کو ناپسند کرتا ہے لیکن وہ اس کے لیے از حد مفید ہے. And she should say that maybe that sick person doesn't like the eating of this talbina, but it is very, very beneficial for the person. حضرت عائشہ صدیقہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ کی ایک اور روایت ہے کہ جب کوئی حضور اقدس صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے بھوک کی کمی کی شکایت کرتا تو آپ اس سے تلبینہ کھانے کا حکم دیتے. In another narration it comes that Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that when anyone complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the person is not feeling hungry, that a person doesn't get hungry, that is a sign of bad health. If a person doesn't feel hungry, it's not a sign of good health, it's a sign of bad health. For this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then used to command that prepare talbina and give it to the person. اور فرماتی کہ خدا کی قسم جس کے قبض قدرت میں میری جان ہے. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take qasam and say, I take oath of that being in whose hands lie my life. یہ تمہارے پیٹوں سے غلاظت کو اس طرح اتار دیتا ہے جس طرح کہ تم میں سے کوئی اپنے چہرے کو پانی سے دھو کر صاف کر لیتا ہے. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should say, then this talbina removes all the dirt from your stomach. It cleanses the stomach just like when you wash your face and you remove all the dirt from your face. یہ بات تجربات سے ثابت ہے کہ تلبینہ واقعی مندرجہ ذیل امراض کے لیے مجرب اور لاجواب ہے. Then the author says that there is no doubt that from experience it has been proved that Talbina is definitely very beneficial for these illnesses which are mentioned here, and there is nothing else that can be as good as Talbina for these illnesses. What are they? Dil ki dharkan, or high blood pressure. When a person's heart is beating too fast, and for high blood pressure as well. Khoon mein charbi ki ziyadati, or gharahapan. When fat comes in the blood, which we call cholesterol, and when the blood becomes thick. Dil ki valve ki pechidgiya, and all the problems that are with the valves of the heart, for that also. Maadi ki khushki or garmi, the stomach when it becomes dry or it has heat in it, which are technical terms of the hakims, that is when the stomach is not in order, it is very helpful for that also. Maada ke tazabit ke liye, and for sugar also. Nigaah ki kamzori mein mufeed hai, it is helpful also when the eyes are weak. Bhook ki kami ke liye mujarrab hai, it has been proven from experience that for hunger it is very good, it will give a person hunger. Bimari ke baad ki kamzori ko rafa karta hai, and when a person has fallen ill and after that when he is recovering again and he had become weak due to his illness, it is very helpful in that as well. Daimi qabz ko dur karta hai, and a person who has got continual constipation, it removes that constipation. Hamila aurat ko faida mand hai, it is very beneficial for a woman who is expecting. Bachcho ke liye behtareen tonic hai, it is a very good tonic for children. Wasawis aur wahshat e qalb ke liye la jawab hai, a person who suffers from evil thoughts, all types of wasawis thoughts, and fear, when a person has fear, there is no answer for there is nothing else that can compare with this. Pishab ke amraz, and for the illnesses that are related with one's urine. Khas taur par uski jalan ko mufeed hai, especially for those people when they urinate and there is a burning sensation, it is particularly beneficial for that. Gurde ke infection, for the infection of the kidneys. Hatta ke gurde fail ho gaye, us waqt istemal karna bahut mufeed paya. In fact, when the kidneys have failed, to use it at that time, he says, we found it to be very beneficial. Jin marido ko gurde ki patri bar bar banti ho, and those people who have kidney stones and it repeats, it comes over and over again. Agar wo usse mustaqil istemal kare, to patri banne ki raftar kam ho jati hai. If they use it continuously, the stalbina, then the stones will not form so fast and so many. Baz amraz mein gurde se peep peshab ke raaste se aati hai. In certain illnesses, pus comes together with the urine also. Aisi halat mein talbina mufeed aur aazmuda hai. In such cases, the stalbina is very beneficial, and from experience we have seen its benefit. Dimaghi mehnat karne walon ke liye payam-e-ummeed aur rahat hai. People who do mental work, this is a message of hope for them and great peace for them also. Mental work has a great toll on a person, and this will be very, very beneficial. So what is the stalbina? Just to recap again, it is simple barley which is grounded, or if we get ready fine barley and cook it in milk, just how we make a porridge, and then add, sweeten it with honey. That is what is called talbina, and we should use it with the niyat of sunnat, and we will get that sawab of sunnat and all these benefits also. If we can, we will have it regularly for breakfast or have alternate days, or often we should try and have this talbina. It will be very good for the whole family at all times. So we should try and have this porridge, which is a sunnat porridge, and with the niyat of sunnat, and inshallah all these other benefits we will also get. And it's so simple, it is just barley, ground barley. If we don't get ground barley, grind it, make it fine, and cook it in milk, and then sweeten it with honey. That's all. And there are so many of benefits of it. May Allah give us tawfiq to follow our sunnah and to get all the benefits which are in there. And if we do it with the niyat of sunnah, it won't be only these benefits, but we don't know how many more benefits. Every teaching of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was by the command of Allah, there is only goodness in there. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. In this kitab, Kashkol-e-Marifat, we are still busy reading the etiquette adab of a piri muridi, of a person becoming a murid, and how he could benefit the maximum from this process and this procedure. Further, Hadrat writes, فرمایا کام میں لگا رہے اور حالات سے اطلاع دیتا رہے. Keep on doing our work, that is the معمولات that we have been given. Follow them regularly, and also regularly in form of our condition, that how we are feeling, what condition is happening. This helps tremendously. Just like if we tell any person in any field, you go to a doctor, he gives you your medicine, you take your medicine properly, and now you inform him that I'm feeling better. Besides the medical side of it, he feels happy also. My patient is benefiting. My patient is informing me also. And from my treatment, my patient is benefiting. So even if he's a non-Muslim, but that happiness of his will have an effect on that patient also. And a person who is a Muslim, his du'as will be with that person. And when this year, in suluk, to reach Allah Ta'ala, to make our islah, and we tell our murabbi, our sheikh, alhamdulillah, I'm benefiting, I'm seeing these benefits, like a person, they report, we are making zikr regularly, we are seeing the benefits, we are making, reading our ma'amulats regularly, we are seeing the benefits, so the sheikh's du'as also go, and the happiness of the from the heart, this makes that person progress even much more. More than what he can progress of his own ma'amulat, this happiness of the sheikh will make him even progress more. And if he's not benefiting, the sheikh will be worried. He'll make dua for the person. He will think of other ways of how he must his condition can improve. So this ittila is also very, very important, in which also we are very, very negligent. We don't inform. Some of us, very few of us, are regular with our ma'amulats, regular with our zikr, our ma'amulats. And hardly anyone, very few, and those who do inform, only occasionally, sometime when they find the chance, then they will inform that we are benefiting or whatever it is. But if these two things are done regularly and properly, we follow our ma'amulat, what we are supposed to do, and we inform also, this is a source of great progress for a person in this cause. But many of us are deprived of that extra progress because we don't inform and we don't take the happiness and the du'as of the sheikh. Inshallah, kamyabi yaqeeni hai. Hazrat says that if we do these two things, follow our ma'amulat and inform regularly, then success is guaranteed. There is no doubt that a person will find Allah, the pleasure of Allah, the thoughts of Allah all the time, to be thankful of to Allah Ta'ala for all His great favors and feel the closeness with Allah Ta'ala all the time. Is raah mein hirman hargiz nahi hota. Hazrat would stress say, twice he say, definitely not, a person is never deprived in this path. But follow the usul, follow the principles, and a person cannot be deprived. فرمایا کہ طالب کی نیت تو رہبر بننے کی بھی نہیں ہونی چاہیے. And a murid mustn't be make the niyat also that I want to become a sheikh, a khalifa. He shouldn't have that niyat also in him. Though to have the niyat to guide people is good, but to get the true benefit, the true murid, and especially in the process of his tarbiyat, while he is being still nurtured, he must not have this at all in his mind, that I also want to become a sheikh, I also want people must become murid to me, I want to guide them, though not for name and fame, but to guide people, which comes in the hadith, if Allah guides one person through you, it is better than red camels, today's Rolls Royce can't compare with a red camel which is referred to here. It is more better than that also for you, that if Allah guides somebody. So to have that jazbah, that Allah makes me the means, that I become the means of guidance for people, that jazbah in itself is not bad. But when a person is doing his tarbiyat, he should not have this desire also. بلکہ یہ نیت ہو کہ ہمیں راستہ نظر آ جائے. All we should have, that we should have this niyat that we can see the road. And the minute Allah Ta'ala will bless you and guide you, then like when the sun is out, nobody has to make announcement that the sun has come out. And as many people as there are who hate daylight, like the bat, a bird of the night, it doesn't like daylight. And they try and cover the sun with pardas, with veils. Nobody can ever cover this light of the sunshine. So when you have developed the light of the sunshine in your heart, wherever you go, people will see that nur and that barakat of yours. Or it is also, like our Shaykh Damat Barakatum explains, like you have a kawab. A kawab, when it is raw, and a person, you give it to somebody to eat it, he will spit it out. But that same kawab, when you now fry it, call it frying? Frying a kawab. When you fry it, and that smell comes, our Shaykh says that smell makes a Hindu also become a Muslim. A Hindu who doesn't eat beef, he doesn't eat cow meat, but that kawab now, when that smell comes and the wonderful desire that will come, Hindu also will say, I'll rather become a Muslim, I can eat kawab. How enjoyable. So once your kawab, which is raw, which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, that when an alim becomes an alim, he graduates, he's a raw kawab. Now let him stay for a little while by a Shaykh, so that the Shaykh can fry that raw kawab. And then wherever he goes, by the smell of him, people will come towards deen. People will come closer to him. So you don't have to advertise yourself. You will be advertised. If you have got this noor in your heart, like the noor of the sun won't compare with the noor of hidayat. The sun, noor of the sun can never compare with the noor of hidayat. People will make you out and see you wherever you are. And when your kawab is fried, and that smell comes, wherever you go, people will recognize you. You won't have to be introduced. People won't have to say, this is so and so, this is so and so. You will be recognized. So that is what a talib must have, a murid, that I must be made. And you don't have to make the niyat that people must come to me. Automatically people will incline towards you. Aur rehbar banne ki niyat shirk fi tariqa hai. And to the niyat of becoming a guide also to get khilafat, I must have majlis, people must come to my majlis, people must become bay'at to me. This is shirk fit tariqa. Shirk fil Allah, when you associate partners with Allah. So you have associated, you have mixed a niyat which is not fit for you. So you have made shirk in this path. It is not that shirk which is what Allah Ta'ala, but in this path now you have adulterated this path. You haven't kept it pure. Your niyat must only be that I must get hidayat. I must see the road to Allah Ta'ala. It must become visible to me. Automatically people will incline towards you. Balke buzur banne ki niyat bhi na honi chahiye. And this niyat also that I become a pious person. Your niyat, piety is on its place. But your niyat must be just to find your road to Allah. That is all. Your niyat mustn't be, I become a buzurg also. Agar ye niyat hai, to wo shakhs ghair haq ka talib hai. And if this person's niyat is khilafat, I must become a big buzurg, etc., then he hasn't got the niyat of Allah. Your niyat must be, I must find Allah. I must walk towards Allah, and I must find Allah Ta'ala. Now your niyat is ghair haq. I must become a buzurg. I must become a khalifa, people must turn to me. So your niyat is not pure yet. So a person who keeps his niyat pure benefits the most. He has no idea that I must get khilafat, I must become a sheikh, I must be guided, I must guide people, etc. Purely his niyat is just to find Allah and to see his road to Allah. Allah will give him much more than what a person who has got the niyat of khilafat, etc. خود کچھ تجویز نہ کرے. And a person must not fix anything from his own side. All he must have, I'm here to find my road to Allah. I must find Allah Ta'ala. That is all what he must have. He mustn't have any other niyat. And of course, other niyats, like some people very, very wrongly, to get barakat in our life, to get barakat in our business, to remove our disease. When these niyats are not correct, then where can these other niyats ever be correct? So a person who keeps his diet proper solely for Allah's pleasure, that person benefits not only a great deal, totally that person benefits. فرمایا کہ کتابوں سے بھی ثابت ہے اور تجربہ سے بھی ثابت ہے. حضرت سید مولانا تھانوی رحمت اللہ علی, that it is written in kitabs also, it is proven from kitabs and from experience also it is proven, کہ نفس کو جب تک ذلت نہ دی جاوے یہ سیدھا نہیں ہوتا. That until this nafs is not humiliated and disgraced, this nafs does not become straight. Until the nafs is not humiliated and disgraced, until then this nafs does not become straight. اور یہ ظاہر ہے کہ اپنے ہاتھ سے ذلت نہیں ہوتی. And this also is a very important thing, not that you humiliate yourself, that you disgrace, humiliate yourself, that also won't help. حضرت explains, بازار میں کھڑے ہو کر اپنے ہاتھ سے اپنے سر پر جھوٹیا بھی مار لے تب بھی ذلت نہ ہو. If a person stands in the bazaar where there are lots of people and he takes his shoes and he hits himself on his head, that also won't kill the nafs. When you're doing it yourself, that also people will say that this person, look at him, he's like a mad person, so humble, he's got nothing. Because you're doing it yourself, it won't help. ذلت تو جناب دوسرے ہی کے ہاتھ سے ہوتی ہے. When somebody else reprimands you, shouts you, humiliates you, then a person, this humility will come into a person. Therefore we find, in our context, South African context, it's very hard to understand this. But till today, if you go to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, then you will find that the ustads, you will find the sheikh, will commonly call his murid bewakuf, nalaik, all these words. This helps to make that nafs straight. If you have to tell somebody, you stupid, you donkey, that person, how won't the person be criticized? How can he call us a donkey? How can he be a sheikh? He's calling me a donkey. He's calling me a stupid, etc. But until this does not take place, nafs does not get killed. Nafs will then remains in a person. So it's very necessary, therefore, that we go into that context. In South Africa, it's almost impossible to bring about that scenario. You have to tell anyone, we hear commonly there in India, Pakistan, for anything, nalaik, gada, bewakuf, they will say this commonly, and this kills that nafs. And it's only when somebody else will tell you, today the problem of husband and wife, husband tells wife something, she becomes angry, upset. Wife tells husband, we just can't take it. Our nafs is so much that we can't take any criticism whatsoever. We only want praises all the time. And until not only criticism, but a sheikh's work is to kill the nafs of his murid. And that can only become when you humiliate the person. And not in privacy, but in front of all. You tell somebody that you're so stupid, you're a donkey or something. That is when nafs dies. And only then does the progress of a person start. And until this does not happen, a person is a slave of his nafs. And he follows the whims and fancies of his nafs all the time. And he will bluff himself, I got lot of hidayah. Nafs will make him enjoy his ibadat also. Nafs will make him enjoy many things also. And he think, I'm enjoying so much of the matters of deen. But actually, he is a slave of his nafs. And this has to happen, as Hazrat explains, only then. But unfortunately, we're in such an environment, whatever little bit we can get, if you have to tell somebody in the public now, you're a donkey, and not just to break his, but you tell him like seriously, how offended that person, he'll never come back to the majlis also. That little benefit he's getting, you won't get that also. So you have to tolerate so much. In the next malfooz, Hazrat said, فرمایا کہ میں نے حضرت حاجی صاحب رحمت اللہ علی سے سنا ہے کہ ایک بزرگ مشغول بحق بیٹھے ہوئے تھے. حضرت سید مولانا تھانوی رحمت اللہ علی heard from حضرت حاجی امداد اللہ مہاجر مکی رحمت اللہ علی that a person was in sitting and in مراقبہ and total communication with اللہ تعالی, making his ذکر, تلاوت, دعا, whatever it was, but he was in total communication with اللہ تعالی. ایک کتا سامنے سے گزرا, one dog passed in front of him, اتفاقاً اس پر نظر پر گئی, then his eyes fell on the dog. ان بزرگ کی یہ کرامت ظاہر ہوئی, this great کرامت of that بزرگ came to be made manifest, کہ اس نگاہ کا اس کتے پر اتنا اثر پڑا. That one look on the dog when he was engaged with Allah Ta'ala and Allah's rahmat was coming on him. He looked on this dog, the effect on the dog was such کہ جہاں وہ جاتا تھا اور کتے اس کے پیچھے پیچھے ہو لیتے تھے. Wherever the dog should go, other dogs should follow him. All the dogs, they should just start following him. اور جہاں بیٹھتا تھا سارے کتے ہلکے باندھ کر اس کے ارد گرد بیٹھ جاتے. And wherever the dog should sit, all the other dogs should come and sit around him. ہنس کر فرمایا. Then مولانا تھانوی رحمت اللہ علیہ laughed and said, وہ گویا کتوں کے لیے شیخ بن گیا. That he became like a sheikh for the dog. In other, then Hazrat explains, پھر فرمایا کہ جن کے فیوز جانوروں پر ہو. And this barakat which falls on animals, ان سے انسان کیسے محروم ہو سکتا ہے. How can human beings be ever to be deprived by this one nazar of the buzurgs? It's a very, very great thing. If animals benefit so much, then how much won't human beings benefit? ہرگیز مایوس نہ ہونا چاہیے. A person should never ever lose hope in this path. ہاں دھون ہونی چاہیے. Yeah, what is required? Your desire, I must meet Allah. My islah must be made. That your niyat is not just for any other thing, but your niyat is that my islah must be made, I must find my Allah. Then in this path, nobody is ever deprived. چاہیے تھوڑی ہی ہو. Even that concern, that dhun, that, what can we say in English? Something which is on your head all the time. Like a child wants a pet, wants a rabbit all the time. Abba, I want a rabbit. Amma, whoever comes to the house, uncle or anyone, tells them also, I want a rabbit. That's a dhun on a person. Or like cricket dhun, soccer dhun, a dhun which is on a... This dhun must be to find Allah. That my islah must be made. Even if it's little, Maulana say, even if it's not 100%, even little, but then this person will benefit tremendously from any majlis, from any buzurg. And even if the buzurg doesn't speak, just the company of that buzurg, that person will benefit. One student is here from Canada, from Panama actually. So he just came and he said that his father, he's ill, he's just about over 50. And he's quite ill. For duas he came. And he said that his father, he is not a alim himself. But all his four sons, he is busy, made them alims, busy making them alim. And he made wasiyat to his eldest son, that if I have to die, my other children, all of them, you must make them alim. So then I asked him, was your father alim? He said, no, he wasn't an alim, but lot ta'alluq with buzurgs. Just that ta'alluq with buzurgs, and we have seen it over and over. A person who had, with sincerity, ta'alluq with buzurgs, lot of benefit of deen, dunya, and akhirah. And together with that, if this dhun is on a person. And after all, why will a person keep ta'alluq with buzurgs? Because he wants Allah. He might not even realize it. Otherwise, he'll go and keep ta'alluq with some other people, worldly people, soccer, cricket, business people, all other. Why does he keep ta'alluq? Because he has got that in him. This will be very, very beneficial. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq and let us all benefit from this mubarak path and follow the adab and then see, inshallah, ourselves what great benefits we will get. We were discussing of natural love and a logical love. A person thinks that, hey, I've got this love. Like you have love for your wife, your children, it's a natural love. You have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Allah Ta'ala. This you think, Allah is my creator. He has showered me with so much favors. It doesn't come naturally, but when you think of it, then it comes. It's the love which is in your thoughts. So the difference of this. Ek hikayat, one instance. Muhabbat-e-tab'i aur muhabbat-e-aqli ko samajhne ke liye Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi ne ek qissa bayan farmaya hai. This natural love which a person has, which you don't have to build for your child, you have it's a natural love. It's just everyone, not only a Muslim, non-Muslim, animals also. They love their offspring, which is a natural thing. And the other love, which is like you think of it, and then you like build that love in you, which is called aqli, which is in the mind. A love like that, what is the difference? Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi rahmatullah has explained this very beautifully in this one instance. Ek buzurg ne ek buzurg se kaha, کہ ہمارے دل میں اپنے والد صاحب کی محبت حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت سے زیادہ معلوم ہوتی ہے. One بزرگ told another بزرگ that in my heart I feel the love of my father, or it could be anyone else, the love of my mother, the love of my wife, my children, I feel their love is more than the love of Nabi Kareem صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. وہ بزرگ محقق عارف تھے, خاموش ہو گئے. That بزرگ was a person who knew reality, حقیقت, reality. And he was an عارف, he had recognition of Allah Ta'ala. So when that other بزرگ told him, he kept quiet, he didn't say anything. بعد مدت ایک دن فرمایا, after some time, one day he told that بزرگ کہ آج آپ کے یہاں حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محاسن سیرت کا ذکر شریف کریں گے. Today by your house we are going to come and we are going to speak on سیرت, the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the great beautiful character, all the beautiful aspects of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سیرت of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll have a jalsa of that. خوب فصاحت اور محبت سے حالات اور اوصاف سید الانبیاء صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم بیان کرتے کرتے اچانک رک کر فرمایا. Then in that, when they were having the seerah jalsa, he was explaining in great eloquent speech the great beauty, the great qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was carrying on and with great beauty and honor, he was explaining all the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then suddenly he kept quiet. Then he said, after that, magar aapke walid sahab mein bhi hasbe zail khubiya hai, that all these great qualities are in your father also. He told that other buzurg in that gathering, that all these great qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are in your father also. Ye sunte hi wo buzurg naraz aur ghusse huye. Just hearing this, that buzurg became very angry and upset. Where my father? Where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my father? He became very upset. Aur farmaya, ye kya jor hai? What connection is there? There is no connection. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my father, there is no connection. کہا ذکر حبیب مدینہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, کہا آپ نے ہمارے ابا کا نام اس وقت بے موقع لے لیا. Where you speaking of the beloved of Medina, Nabi Kareem صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, his beautiful qualities, where you joined my father with this? Where can my father fit in this category? Nowhere. مولانا ابا کا ذکر چھوڑیے, جو بیان فرما رہے ہیں اسی کو بیان فرمائے. اسے مولانا پلیز, that what you have, leave my father out of the picture. He doesn't come anywhere in this equation. Just speak about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bas unke muhakkik arif buzurg ne farmaya, that buzurg was a true, who is a muhakkik who knew reality. He said on this, ke up to samajh mein aa gaya hoga. Now you might have understood now, ke muhabbat aapke dil mein kiski zyada hai. That for who have you got more love? For Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you were thinking you got more love for your father. But now when this comparison came, immediately now you realize that the love of anyone today, a person with the weakest iman, if you tell him that you got qualities like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person will in fact get angry with you. Me and you putting me with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it's your ustad, whether it's your sheikh, whether it's your father, anyone, where can anyone compare with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So it shows then that actually you are that natural love is for your father. But when you come to this, a test, then you will realize you've got more love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aapka shubha aur khaljaan dur hua ya nahi? They asked him that doubt which you had, that worry which you have, hasn't it now been removed? Hasn't it gone away? Khoob hase aur farmaya. He laughed and said, Jazakallah ke chashambaz kardi. Jazakallah, you opened my eyes. I didn't know myself whose love I had in my heart. You opened my eyes and you opened my heart and you showed me clearly that definitely I've got more love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فرمایا, ہاں بھائی ہم غلطی پر تھے. He said, yes, we were making a mistake. محبت طبیع کے سبب ہم کو یہ شبہ تھا, اب معلوم ہوا کہ محبت عقلی اور محبت ایمانی اصل چیز ہے. This natural love that we have, which is in every person, this we got a doubt, that I got more love for my children. Today you love your child so much, Na'uzu billah, if you have to speak one word against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you'll chase him out of the house. What and what won't you do? That shows that you have actually got more love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Muhabbat aqli or muhabbat imani asal cheez hai. This muhabbat which you sort of calculate, you work out, I love for Allah Ta'ala, love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this, which is also imani muhabbat. Love of iman, not a nature, by nature, but because of your iman, you love Allah, you love Rasul, you love awliya, you love buzurgan-e-deen, you love Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif, Darul Ulooms, Masjids, all these things you love, that is by your iman, and by what you know, you realize, you love these things more. Aur uska pata taqabul se hota hai. And when does a person realize this? When there is a comparison between the two. When the two are opposed to one another, that's time. Just like that, you naturally you will feel, I love my house more, I love my car more, my wife, children more. But when it is compared with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you'll see your love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is greater. Hadith bala Bukhari Sharif mein marwi hai, aur usme halawat iman ko sharh Bukhari mein mulahaza farmaye. This hadith that we are discussing, this the hadith which at the beginning came that thalathun man kunna fihi wajada bihinna halawatul iman. A person who has got three qualities, that person will find the sweetness of iman. Those three things, what were they again? They were a person who loves Allah and his Rasul more than anything and everything besides them. A person who loves another person only for the pleasure of Allah, for no other reason. And a person who hates to go back to kufr, just as he hates that he must be thrown into the in a fire. Who hates to go to kufr so much as he hates to go into a fire, that person will find the sweetness of iman. So that sweetness of iman, is this hadith is in Bukhari Sharif, and Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh has given the explanation of this hadith. حلاوت ایمان کی متعلق بخاری شریف میں اسی حدیث کے متعلق امام بخاری نے مستقل باب حلاوت الایمان قائم فرمایا ہے. With regard to the sweetness of ایمان, امام بخاری رحمت اللہ علیہ in his kitab has made one topic, one heading which he called باب حلاوت الایمان, the chapter on the sweetness of ایمان. اور ابن حجر فرماتے ہیں کہ مقصود مصنف کا اس باب سے یہ بتلانا ہے کہ ان حلاوت الایمان من ثمرات الایمان. That the object of Imam Bukhari رحمت اللہ علیہ in putting this heading ترجمة الباب is that the sweetness of ایمان is from the fruit of ایمان. The sweetness of ایمان is from the fruit of ایمان. ایمانی حلاوت ایمان کے پھلوں سے ہے. The sweetness of ایمان is from the fruit of iman. چونکہ کلمہ طیبہ کی مثال حق تعالی شانہو نے شجر طیبہ سے قرآن میں بیان فرمایا. Because Allah Ta'ala has explained that the kalima طیبہ کشجرتن طیبتن is just like a tree. Allah has explained it in the Quran Sharif. And like you have a mango tree. What enjoyment you get from the mango tree? From the fruit, the mango. You have a peach tree. Not from the branches you get that sweetness, not from the roots, not from the stem, but from the fruits. So the fruit of iman is the sweetness of iman. Explains, kalma tayyiba ki mithal, shajara tayyiba se hai. The example which Quran Sharif gives is that the example of kalima tayyiba, that is iman, la ilaha illallah, is like that shajara tayyiba, like a tree, a blessed tree, a pure blessed tree. وہی کلمہ اخلاص ہے. That is kalima of ikhlas, la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. That is the seed and the tree. اور شجر ایمان کی جر ہے. And it is the root of the tree of iman. This kalima is the tree of iman, and the root of it is this la ilaha illallah. اور اس کی شاخ احکام کی اتباع. And the branches of this tree are fulfilling the commands of this kalima, that is namaz, roza, zakat, all the things that we have to do. Or nawahi se ijtinab hai, and that we keep, stay away from the things which Allah Ta'ala has made haram. What are the root is La ilaha illallah. The branches are the commands of Allah and what Allah has prohibited us from, and we obey by that. We do what we have to, what we are commanded. We stay away from what we have been prohibited. Aur uski awraq, mu'min ka jumla khair ke amal ka ihtimam hai. And the leaves of this tree are the mu'min who is doing all acts of goodness. Besides were the basic things which are faraz, wajib, all these other good deeds, zikr, tilawat, giving charity, helping out somebody, etc. All those good deeds. Aur uska phal ta'at hai. And the fruit of it is obedience to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Aur phal ki mithas pukhtagi hai phulo phalo ki. Aur phal ki mithas, the sweetness of the fruit, mithas pukhtagi hai phalo ki, is the sweetness of the fruit. Aur kamal halawat, phal ka khub pukhta hona hai. Ji. And aur phal ki mithas, the sweetness of the fruit is the when it is ripe, the ripeness of the fruit. When the fruit is not ripe, you don't get the sweetness in it. Phalo ki. Aur kamal halawat, phal ka khub pukhta ho jana hai. And the real enjoyment, sweetness you get when that fruit is really very, very ripe. Aur usi se uski halawat ka zuhur hota hai. And from there now, you get the sweetness of, you realize the sweetness of that fruit. Yeah, a different aspect completely. Fruit, we all like and we normally eat it for the sweetness of it. But actually, Hazrat Hakim Yusuf, marhum of Heckwood, used to say that, for example, oranges from South Africa are exported to the UK. Many other fruit are also exported. So when these oranges are exported, they are green. 15% only they are ripe. 85% they are still green. As they are being transported, by the time they reach UK, now they are 85% ripe. And 15% green, because people want ripe fruit. So when it comes on the market, it is properly ripe. But he explained this from a health point of view, that when the orange or any fruit, when it is still raw, then it is that fruit. It's an orange, it's a mango, it's a banana, whatever fruit it is. And when it gets ripe, now it becomes sugar. And just like sugar, which is harmful for many other things, the sugar of fruit also, there is sugar in fruit also, which puts your sugar levels high, and also your weight, it increases your weight. So now you are eating more sugar and less fruit. And that we read the benefits of grapes are this, the benefits of banana is this, the benefit of oranges. Now that benefit you are getting less. You are getting more sugar and less orange, less banana. So he used to explain, the best time to eat a fruit for health reasons, not for enjoyment, for health reasons, is when it is just fit to be eaten. It isn't still 100% ripe. It isn't 100% ripe and sweet. It has just become possible to eat. When it's completely raw, you can't eat it. When it has just become ready, now you can just eat it. That's the best time to eat a fruit for health reasons. And in that, you get the most benefit of what an orange is for, what a mango is for, what a banana is for, what a grape is for. And fruits have got great, great benefit, but when you eat it like that. But we like to eat it when it is 100% ripe. Then you are getting more sugar. But anyway, here the example which the Quran Sharif gives is that the enjoyment which the Hazrat is explaining here, the enjoyment of Iman. Iman is like that root of the tree. And then the branches, etc., the commands of Allah, the leaves are all the good deeds a person is doing, and that fruit. And a person enjoys the fruit the most when it is fully ripe. Then he enjoys the sweetness of that fruit. And normally, when fruit is taken off the tree without refrigeration, it is nice and sweet, cold also. Not so cold which is harmful, it is just ideal when it is just taken off from the tree. That is the best time to eat a fruit. So this sweetness of Iman which is referred to is this, the fruit of this tree. And that is the commands of Allah Ta'ala. When this tree will be as it is supposed to be, and then a person fulfills all these commandments of Allah Ta'ala, then he will get that sweetness. He will feel, he will get sweetness in tilawat, sweetness in namaz, sweetness in zikr. He will actually now start getting that sweetness. So Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi has explained, the sweetness is this what is meant. The sweetness of iman is the sweetness of the fruit of iman. Muhabbat se murad hubbe aqli hai. And love that is referred to you, yeah, it's not the natural love which comes in a person, but this love which he understands through his mind. That my Allah is my creator, my Allah is my sustainer, he is the one who has given me my eyes, who has given me everything. So you love the person, you love Allah Ta'ala, just like in this world. A stranger comes and he helps you out when you are in desperation. And so you start loving, but you don't know why you love him, because he helped you. And so this love of Allah is because Allah has done everything. When you think of the kamal of Allah, that Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala is such a khaliq, such a creator. What in what hasn't Allah created? Yeah, you have a person who perhaps he makes a car, Mercedes Benz, whatever. But the person manufacturer of Mercedes Benz also, he doesn't really, he assembles it. The engine is made by somebody else. The tires are made by somebody else. The dashboard is made by somebody else. How many people in the work? All he did was assemble. Allah is the maker of everything himself. Allah makes it, Allah assembles it himself. Within the womb of the mother, when Allah makes a baby, what a factory Allah has made. A small factory which is in three layers of darkness, where no light can penetrate, and there this child is made. And the best creation, the most beautiful creation, is human being. And where is this human being being made? There within the mother's womb. And the eyes are also made there. The eyes are not, there is no eye factory. And there is no nose factory. And no ear factory. Everything is made there. So the making of the child is what a fantastic, so Allah, how great. More greater than that, when Allah puts life, ruh, in the child. Now what a life has come in the child. Now the child has got hunger, has got thirst, has got feeling, happiness, sadness. What and what? The child is a computer, programs and thinks for itself. What and what it does? Allahu Akbar. So how great is Allah, the khaliqiyat of Allah. If you look at fruit, whatever fruit you eat, Ya Allah, you made this banana. All the scientists in the world forget a banana, they can't make one drop of water. They can't make one grain of rice. Allah Ta'ala, you have made this. So how great is Allah Ta'ala. If you look at the peel, when you peel the banana, Ya Allah, you made this peel to protect this banana. If there wasn't the peel and you left the banana out for 10 minutes, you don't feel like eating it now. Now when you peel it, that fresh banana, how Allah packed it and preserved it, that you will take out the packing, you will peel it, and then you get that fresh banana to eat. An orange, Allah Ta'ala made the packing of it. We pack the oranges in boxes, in bags, whatever. Allah's packing, that Allah made that yellow peel outside. Then further, Allah made that white covering, which is there. Then Allah made each slice cheery of the orange. And then Allah covered it with that little fine covering. And inside of that are the little small soluble bags of the juice. So that my banda gets that fresh proper juice. Allah packed it so well. So that when you now cut your orange, you peel your orange, you eat it, you get this wonderful juice. And now the main thing was to recognize Allah. And then to eat it, make shukr to Allah Ta'ala, what great ni'mats He has blessed us with. So this is that aqli muhabbat. A person thinks, Allah is such a great khallaq. Allah is what a murabbi is Allah Ta'ala. Allah is looking after His entire creation. More than what a father or a mother can look after that family of four or six people. Allah is looking after His whole creation. The animals, the elephants, the ants, those things which we can't see without a microscope. All those things, Allah Ta'ala is looking at everything of this. We get so worried. A young mother passes away, she has left 3-4 children. We wonder now what's going to happen to the children. Who's going to look after them? Sometimes there is no immediate family also. What will happen to the children? But in all cases, those children grow up and they become well established in the world. Hey, how great Murabbi Allah Ta'ala is. Allah has created the heavens and the earth. Whatever you think of Allah, how great. So that love of Allah will automatically come in a person. So this love is a different type of love from a natural love. Yeah, really the discussion is muhabbate tabi'i, natural love which you have, and muhabbate akli, which you think of and you have that love. Tif tafsir Baydawi ke halawa se hawala se Ibn Hajar farmate hai. From the tafsir Baydawi, a great famous tafsir, Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi says, aur murad muhabbat se us is hadith mein muhabbate akli hai. The love that is referred to here is not a natural love, but a calculated love. You deduce that love. You think of Allah Ta'ala. How is Allah? And then you get that love. Jisko akle salim ikhtiyar kar le. And a person whose mind is in order, he has got a proper thinking mind, that person will understand and accept Allah Ta'ala. He will realize Allah is the doer of everything. And Allah's love is superior than everything. کیونکہ مریض سفراوی شہید کو کروا محسوس کرتا ہے. Because a person who is ill, and what is an ill person? Ill person is basically, according to the Hakims of before, they only defined four elements in the body. Now there are many, many in chemistry, how lot of things are broken down further. And whenever one of these four elements go out of its proportion, it becomes too much or it becomes less, now you are sick. That is all what illness is. Whenever one of these four things, water, fire, air, and sand, these four things are what the body is made up of. And whenever one of these becomes more, now you become whatever that illness is called. So when this becomes more in a body, and it becomes quite a bit more, then even honey, a person tastes it, it is like bitter to him. Because of that illness, just like when a person has got high temperature, he doesn't like anything. You give him biryani, he doesn't want to look at it. You give him samosas, he doesn't want to look at them, because he's an ill person. So, aur tandurust uska asli zaiqa pa jata hai. And a person who is healthy, he gets the actual original taste. So just like that, a person whose mind is straight, he will realize Allah Ta'ala's creation, Qudrat, and automatically he'll get the love of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. Further, aur halawat-e imani ka mafhoom, ibadat mein lazzat mehsoos karna. And what is the sweetness of iman? That a person starts enjoying the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Deen ke tamam takalif ko bardasht karna. And whatever difficulty he finds in deen, rozas, 18-hour rozas, 40, 45 degrees, 50 degrees temperature, but he tolerates all that. Aur dunya ke maal o asbab par iman ki taqazo ko tarjih dena. And he gives preference to all the demands of deen above all the things of this dunya. And though he's tabiat by nature, he realizes roza is hard. To take out his zakat, he feels it hard. But he does all this because he knows it's a demand of iman. This is a sign that this person has got the sweetness of iman. He finds it hard to get up for fajr. And he realizes, I'm still sleepy, I'm groggy. But it's fajr time, I have to get up. He gets up and he makes his fajr. This is a sign that that person has got the sweetness of iman. So the amal of deen is what is the sweetness of iman. And when a person is doing it, he's getting that, even if he's not enjoying it, he's doing it because I have to do it as a duty. But there is no doubt that as a person progresses in this path, he comes to the position that where finally he starts getting enjoyment in this. And that enjoyment comes then in such a way that it's this muhabbat-e akli, it now becomes muhabbat-e tab'i, a natural love for Allah. And then a person actually feels his love for Allah, for his Rasul, for deen, is more than his love for his wife, for his children, more than the love of the husband also. And when this happens, then automatically he finds his wife to be the most beautiful woman in the world. And he doesn't get any enjoyment looking at other women. If his eyes do fall, he dislikes it. that why did I even have to see? And even when he saw, he wasn't attracted at all by that. When this happens, everything of his now becomes tabi'i, becomes natural. His lifestyle, he prefers simplicity. He prefers to be more in the company of Allah, tilawat, zikr, masjid, instead of having friends or instead of commentary and instead of sports. Naturally these things become. In his food, simple food, he starts and good food. He enjoys water more than cold drink. More than juice, he enjoys water. When this becomes in a person, that iman is now coming further. And all these things becomes natural for that person. And now to make tilawat, zikr for the fikr of deen, that person now is more and more into all these things. So that is what a person. Amongst that, one great blessing which Allah Ta'ala has given us, and which perhaps every person feels and realizes, is ziyarat of Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. What a place, and how Allah has favored the Muslims. Nobody in the world has got a thing like this, what Allah has given the Muslims. The Rawza-e Mubarak of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To be close to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For one thing, no other nation, no other religious followers know where their Nabi is. Musa alayhi salam, you go to Jordan, they'll tell you he's buried here. You go to Palestine, they'll tell you he's buried here. For certainty, nobody knows. And then, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam is in the heavens. Allah raised him up. It's only the Muslims that we can, you book your ticket, you get your visa, and within a few hours or a day or two, you can be right within a few meters of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great blessing. And then, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hayatul Nabi is alive in his qabr. And when we read salam from around the Rawza, which means the whole Masjid and Nabawi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally hears the salam and personally replies to it. What a great honor. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, Man zarani ba'da wafati, faka'annama zarani fi hayati. A person who will visit me after I left this world is just like the person who visited me in my lifetime. So we got the opportunity, so to say, to go and visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not so to say, he's alive, and we go there, and we go and visit him. What a great honor. And then the peace and tranquility which Allah Ta'ala has when a person goes there. The great enjoyment. This is all the halawat of iman. That a person enjoys this. Hollywood means nothing. A person will want to vomit just when he even hears this word. But when he hears Medina Sharif, Makkah Sharif, Haram Sharif, and the Kaaba Sharif, the tawaf around there all the time. The beauty of the Kaaba Sharif. And look at Allah's Qudrat. Just that little cube, which is black in color, that little ayat of the Quran inscribed, but it has got such an attraction that every person in the world, you see the people who come from their dressing outwardly, you can make out that they are more in dunya, but it has pulled them also to the Kaaba. Whoever it is, if you have to sit and speak to somebody, you find this is a judge. This is a professor. This is some cabinet minister. And here they are all, especially at Hajj time, when all are in ihram. What a thing Allah Ta'ala has blessed the Muslims with. With regard to Medina Sharif particularly, how to benefit maximum from the teachings of our Shaykh Damat Barakatum. Like if you, just as we said, when you go to your Shaykh also, make ittila, inform also. So there also, more than all our other ma'amulats, our basic ma'amulats that we should fulfill. But the rest of the time, try and spend it in Durood Sharif. As much as Durood Sharif, and especially when we are in Masjid and Nabawi, and even in our rooms when we are walking, that person, and in fact, as we are approaching Medina Sharif, whether it's by air, whether it's by road, whatever it is, start increasing our Durood Sharif. And Durood Sharif, what is Durood Sharif? What is the Allahumma salli ala Muhammad? We just say, oh Allah, send durood on Nabi, send salutations on Nabi. What are these salutations? One Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was making tawaf. In the tawaf, he caught the hand of one tabi. And he told that tabi, we have to may say jazakallah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What great, what favors. In fact, our very existence, lawlaka lama khalaqtul khalq. Had it not been for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah declares, I should not have created the creation. It is because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our creation, that we have been created. Even if we were created into a snake, a snake also has come onto the scenario, onto the stage of dunya, where it has experiences all the things. The skies it sees, it gets its rosy, what and what things. Allah didn't in any case make us. Allah gave us existence. If we were not brought into existence, whether you are a mouse, a rat, or anything, even those things have seen the great blessings of Allah. They get oxygen, they drink water, they eat food. What great blessings. And all this ni'mat of Allah, more than the using of it, the first important ni'mat which is in that ni'mat is to recognize Allah. Allah is the creator and maker. Then Allah has given it to me and I'm not fit for it at all. When we think of this, then think of the tafsir of the ayat, وَرْحَمْنَا أَيْ تَفَضَّلْ عَلَيْنَا بِفُنُونِ الْأَعْلَىٰ. Oh Allah, bless us with great, great, great blessings. مَا إِسْتِحْقَاقِنَا بِأَفَانِينِ الْإِقَابِ. Though in fact we were supposed to be punished with the worst of punishments. So when we think of that Allah Ta'ala brought us from non-existence into existence. What a great favor of Allah. Then when He brought us into existence, He didn't make us a stone. He didn't make us a tree. He made us human beings. Eh? What a great ni'mat that we were human beings. And then in human beings, He made us Muslims. And then in Muslims, He made us in the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For which even Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, what a great Nabi. Out of the 30 suparas in the Quran, 29 places, Allah has mentioned the qissa of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What a great Nabi. He was prepared to forego his nabuwat to become an ummati of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Without us asking, Allah made us, and Allah has now given me the opportunity to go and visit my Nabi. As Imam Malik rahmatullah ali says, it is bi-adabi to say I'm going to Medina Sharif. I came from Medina Sharif. You are going to your mother where she lives in her town. And you say, I'm going to that town. You don't say, I'm going to my mother. Anyone ask you where you're going? I'm going to Pretoria. I'm going to Middelburg. I'm going to Cape Town. You don't say, I'm going to my mother. What are you not worth anything? You must say, I'm going to my mother. So when we're going, I'm going to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not to Masjid al-Nabawi also. The Salafis say, make niyat of the Masjid. No, make niyat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are going to visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So say, I'm going to visit. And when you go from Medina Sharif, say, I'm coming from my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't say, I'm coming from Medina Sharif, I'm going to Medina Sharif. Our object is, Medina has got its value because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the real main is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we are there, and we have to say, Jazakallah. How do we say so that Sahabi told that Tabi that we have to say Jazakallah. So he said, yes, it's right. And then we have to praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we haven't got the words to praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to make dua for our Nabi. Whoever has done a favor to you, you make dua. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100% is not in need of our dua, but it's our duty that we make dua. So Allah gave us the combination of all those three things in Durood Sharif. When we read Durood Sharif, we are thanking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are saying Jazakallah, we are so praising Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then again, Allahu Akbar. How kind is not Allah? We did not know even, we don't know how to praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't know how to say Jazakallah. How many people when you want to go and thank them, especially great honorable people, in fact when you get excited, you get tongue-tied, and you say wrong words also. And then you feel so sorry after, how I spoke like this, I shouldn't have spoken. So we didn't know how to thank Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Ta'ala told us, Allahumma salli, tell Allah to thank Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On our behalf, oh Allah, you thank Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On our behalf, you praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And oh Allah, you raise the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, etc. So Durood Sharif is a great ibadat there. As much as we can, if we thousands and 10,000 a day is not enough. As much as we can, the main ibadat in Medina Sharif is reading of Durood Sharif. Then besides that, as we are weak, try and read some ashar poems, Naat Sharif, which are in the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will enhance us. Just like in zikr, we read those ashar in between, we get the reality of the zikr, what the zikr is actually for. So the reality of Durood Sharif will also come from that. So try and read as many Naat Sharif. Then, when you are there at Rauza-e Mubarak, this is an established fact that you ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for us also. and dua for the, especially those people who gave salams, and they are asking you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua. So we are speaking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So also express our love, but keep this to a minimum, because we don't know how to express. In Durood Sharif, it all comes in already. And the highest and most comprehensive, perfect form is in Durood Sharif. So, yeah, and when we go to some, for example, we studied by our ustad, whatever sabak or kitab we had learned. Now you go there, and in front of the ustad, you are reading your sabak. He's a ustad. What can you to read the sabak there? But you thank him, my ustad, I jazakallah, you taught us, you did this, we appreciate it. So like that, by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than all our other wazaif and that, read Durood Sharif. In that we are thanking, we are praising Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless every mu'min to go over and over to these mubarak places, and that we benefit fully and completely from there. And two great muraqabas which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum has taught us, that when we go to Rauza-e Mubarak and to Baytullah Sharif, one is that make this niyat, make this muraqabah, that, O Allah, your unlimited torrents and torrents of rahmat are coming down here on Rauza-e Mubarak. Let a few splashes fall on me also. At Baytullah Sharif, Allah's rahmat is coming down in torrents, especially when you're making tawaf. Even if you're just sitting and looking at the Kaaba, which is tasri, clear in the hadith, that person also gets great benefit. Oh Allah, let the splashes of that rahmat of yours fall on me also. So we should make that muraqabah. And the other is that what we should keep our heart the right side up. The glass of the heart, if you keep this glass upside down, under the Niagara Falls, Victoria Falls, not a drop of water will come. But you keep it straight up in front of a tap where one drop of water is falling in 1 hour, your glass slowly will get full. So the glass of the heart, keep it up there. Have our attention. Don't be distracted by all the decorations of Masjid and Nabawi, all those which are there. Don't get distracted how other people are behaving. Well, somebody is taking photos, somebody is there dressing. Don't get this. Our concentration is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we go and read Salatul Salam, and there also, if you get pushed around, don't worry about it. Even if the guards push you away, don't get worried about it. You just be there. Maulana Abrarul Aksab, what a great person. People have seen over and over, he's been pushed this way, that way. But in that love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he carries on and reading his Salatul Salam. And one important thing also is the timing must be right. Even if there's the biggest crowd, Hajj crowd also, Ramzan crowd, but if your timing is right, you get very good chances. But our timing is we want to sleep at that time. The taqaza of sleep is very strong. But if you can sacrifice your sleep, and at those times you go, for example, about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning you go to make your Salatul Salam, you get a very good chance. Even when the crowds are big, those are times in the afternoon. But those are times we want to be resting. In the afternoon, between Zuhr and Asr that time, at night time, so we get that opportunity. So we should try. And a place where most of our Buzurgs used to always sit. In fact, Bazlul Majhood, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri, Rahmatullahi, wrote his whole kitab, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, all great Buzurgs, at the lake side of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is where most of our Buzurgs sit there most of the time. They spend their time there. So anyway, Allah has blessed us. These are all the great enjoyments of Iman. When a person makes effort on his Iman, Allah blesses, and Allah has given these places, and Allah gives the enjoyments of these places. Come on, Allah. Briefly, Bay'at is Sunnah. It's not for us to become Bay'at. But the object of Bay'at, that is for us. And what is the object? Our reformation. To correct our lives. And to connect ourselves with Allah Ta'ala. For that is Bay'at. So when you become Bay'at, there are few things to do. That is the most important. The procedure of Bay'at is not the important thing. To follow up with that, that is important. And what is that? A few things. To keep our appearance Islamic. From head to toe, wherever we are. whether we're going on a holiday, whether we're going on business, when there isn't anything stopping us. Sometimes perhaps in our job we are not allowed to dress Islamic, but as far as possible we keep our Islamic appearance from head to toe. Second thing, recitation of Quran Sharif. If a person is still not reading one sufara a day, then he can start with one page a day, half a page, one ruku, but read Quran Sharif daily. Quran is the rope that connects us with Allah Ta'ala. The third is to read one tasbih 100 times, which only takes about 4 minutes. La ilaha illallah. And then try and learn the proper procedure of zikr to get the maximum benefit. But for a start, just to read La ilaha illallah. And with this in mind, with La ilaha, I'm vacuuming and taking out from my heart whatever wrong things there in my heart. And illallah, I'm putting the right thing into my heart. 100 times a day with concentration, how won't Allah take out all the dirt from our heart and put all the goodness? And 100 times, Allah. This will only take about 2 minutes. And with this in mind, basically, that Allah, I love you. Oh Allah, I need your love. Oh Allah, you come into my heart. The minute you get the love of Allah, the balance of the work, all Allah will do it. When a father loves his son, he wants to get him married, the father does everything, get his house, get his furniture, arranges for the wedding, the father takes over everything. So once you get the love of Allah, you don't have to really do anything. Allah will do even our islah, and Allah will connect us with him. And 100 times, this will definitely happen, and don't take long, it will happen inshallah. And then the third to the last thing, which is very important, to keep contact with the Shaykh. Come regularly in the majlis, keep contact inshallah. Give your hand. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله، يد الله فوق أيديهم، فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه، ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: المرء مع من أحب. Repeat: O Allah, I make tawbah from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq, hypocrisy, from bid'at, innovations, from all sins, major and minor, particularly the sin of the love of dunya and being unmindful of akhirat, and from the sin of following my whims and desires and being unmindful of the commandments of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the sunnat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and from the sin of pride. O Allah, I promise to the best of my ability to perform my 5 times namaz with jama'at in the masjid according to sunnat, to fast during the month of Ramadan, if zakat becomes compulsory, to discharge the same, if hajj becomes compulsory, to perform hajj. O Allah, I enter in the silsila of the Chishtiyah and the silsila of the Naqshbandiya, and the Silsila of the Qadiriya, and the Silsila of the Suharwardiya. O Allah, by the barakat of all the Buzurgs, of all four Silsilas, accept my Tawbah and my Ba'at. O Allah, as long as I live, grant me an Islamic Imani life. Just before mouth, grant me Tawbatan Nasuha. Grant my mouth on Imani Kamil, on Kalima Shahadat, with Afiyat, Izzat, and Rahat. Gather me tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah and forever thereafter in Jannat with the righteous and the pious. Accept inshallah. So do those few things. Try and keep Islamic appearance all the time. And then Quran Sharif read daily. 100 times La ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah, and try and come regularly to the majalis inshallah.
Inshallah, a message will be going out very soon also in the end of the month of March by Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Tab Dawud Barakatu. There will be a first Alami Ijtima, meaning he has made a dawah to all his mutalliqin, those who have ta'alluq with him or his khulafa, to present themselves in Karachi for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So the period of 4 days at the end of the month of March. Then inshallah, we all know the Ijtima will be taking place here. Inshallah, about 2 weeks after the Ijtima, like how last year one Islahi Ijtima was held in Moirova, inshallah this year it will be held in the Madrasa in Azadville. It will be Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Yawmul Jumah, Yawmul Sabt, Yawmul Ahad. That will be 2 weeks after the Ijtima will take place. So inshallah, we should all from now try and make arrangements to be present. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله والحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش الحمد لله. أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك الغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مرضا إلا شفيته، ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما تحب وترضى بعدد ما تحب. رضينا بالله رب وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.